God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Many people have read the Old Testament and asked, how in the world could Moses have known what happened in the Garden of Eden or the flood? They obviously didn't read the genealogical record in the book of Genesis. Here now is Pastor Larry with Billy Crone.
Thank you, Matthew, and warmest greetings to all in our listening audience. Let's get right into our interview with Pastor Billy Crone. We were visiting with him in our previous program, talking about the question, did the Bible really come from God? Which, by the way, is the title of a book and a DVD, 6 hours of viewing, that we're offering our listeners. We'll tell you how to get these tremendously helpful resources in a few minutes. Pastor Billy, thank you for being with us once again. Let's pick up where we left off in our previous program.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you again, Dr. Sparsimino, for having me with you. And, you know, again, we've just basically gone through this resource that we put together, unfortunately, not just for the skeptic outside the church, but believe it or not, the skeptic inside the church. You know, as we shared in the past program, that the alarming results are this, folks, that 50% of those who are professing to be Christians in the United States of America no longer believe in absolute truth, and 55% believe that the Bible has errors in it. So, unfortunately, we need to get this into the hands of back into the church, because God gives us so much evidence that this book really did come from Him, and you do not need to doubt not one iota. But the 10 lines of evidence that we bring out is, of course, the Bible says it came from God, Jesus says so, the apostles say so, history, transmission standards say so, manuscripts say so, archaeology says so, Bible prophecy says so, science says so, and statistical data say so. Now, last time, of course, we left off with the issue of the transmission standards, and of course, that's a big one. I used to think this back in the day before I was saved, too, and I thought I had my own great intellectual ideas and about the Bible and Christians and Christianity, and it wasn't even my own. I was actually parroting what the secular school system and the media wanted me to think, but I was the real hypocrite, because did I ever read the Bible or investigate or take this serious? No. Okay, but one of the things that I would always come back, and you people still hear it and use it today, they would say, well, we can't trust the Bible because even if it really was, you know, from God, I mean, the way that it's been transmitted over the years, you can't trust it. And then they'll bring up the scenario where they get a circle of people in a room, and one person says to the person on their left a sentence, and then that person tells it to the person on their left, and then that person tells it to, you know, on and on it goes all the way around the circle, and finally it gets to the 20th person, and then they say out loud what they thought they heard, and it's completely different, right? And that's a game everybody's played typically, and they'll say, well, see, that's why we can't trust the Bible. Well, again, those who make that statement show their ignorance. I don't mean that in a detrimental sense, this ignorance of how the Bible was transmitted accurately for us throughout the ages. In fact, we saw even with the Old Testament, Moses got firsthand accounts of the Genesis account, even though he is far removed from the time of the Garden of Eden, because we did the math. This is where we left off last time, and we saw that mankind's first 2,157 years, if you add up the dates there, the first 2,157 years of mankind's history is covered by the lives of just three men, right? So you're talking about firsthand accounts, not some whooping up a story that hopefully they got it right and they didn't know what to do. Now, add to that, on top of that, and again, we're just dealing with, at this point, the Old Testament. The Jewish people, folks, when they transmitted data, when they transmitted, made copies of the Old Testament, I mean, this was a science. Okay, and they took this extremely serious. There was nothing willy-nilly going on here, okay, or just anything casual. They had rules that they had to follow. First of all, a synagogue roll must be written only by a Jewish person on the skins of clean animals. They must be fastened by strings together taken from clean animals. Every skin, every line had a certain number of lines, had a certain number of columns equal throughout the entire codex. In other words, it was like a mathematical formula. You knew the copy was accurate because the math came out. They literally did it in such a precise manner. They were very specific about the ink. They had commands. You could not do anything from memory. You had to look at it before you. They even had this rule that a copyist must sit in full Jewish dress, wash his whole body, not write the name of God without a newly pen dipped in ink, and listen, even if a king should address him while he's writing the name of God, he must not take notice of the king, which I believe was punishable by death. But there's nothing willy-nilly going on here. There's nothing casual. These guys did it verbatim, and they also did it as if it was in a scientific manner, meaning that we know it's right because the map adds up. It has to have, this page has to have a certain amount of numbers, a certain amount of lines and columns, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, that's just the Old Testament. Now, you think, okay, what about the New Testament? How can we trust that? How is it transmitted to us? Well, that's where you go back to the common practices of a student and a rabbi back in the days of Jesus, right? Because the New Testament came from the teachings of Jesus and the apostles who followed Jesus. Now, a rabbi back in those days, they would do a couple things. Number one, they would walk, and the disciples would walk behind them. And when you read the Gospels in the New Testament, you see that that's what they're doing. They're walking all over the place, and they're following Jesus wherever he goes. Well, they're not just walking from here to there. While they walk, the rabbi, Jesus, is teaching. That's what rabbis did. Now, as they were teaching, they weren't just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. He's telling us a story. No, the followers of the rabbi were instructed to memorize literally word for word everything they were taught, okay? And in fact, they had a phrase back in the day, and it was that a good disciple is like a cistern that did not lose one drop. So again, there's nothing casual here. When Jesus is teaching, these guys aren't just listening. I hope they're paying attention, get it right. They are memorizing every single thing that he had said. Oh, and by the way, not only that, Jesus, of course, in John 14, I call this the backdoor policy. You know, just in case they didn't quite get it memorized, what did Jesus say in John 14? He said, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said to you. So again, it's all about memorization, and it wasn't just something willy-nilly, I hope they remember the story from Jesus, you know, etc. But the Spirit of God was going to make sure that they got it right, and of course they did, and it demonstrates itself. Now, that's just the transmission standards. Now, that leads us to, okay, when they transmit it, they create things called manuscripts. And that's the next evidence that is absolutely mind-blowing when you take a look at that, right? And you take a look at the copies of the Bible. Again, the Bible, you got 27 books in the New Testament, 39 in the Old, total of 66, right? And when you take a look at the manuscript evidence, okay, the more that you have of a manuscript of a document, the better it is. You're thinking, well, no, that means they could get it wrong. No. The more, just think about it logically. The more that you have, it gives you a better database to work from to do cross-reference on the copies to ensure that you have logistically accurate to the original. Even to the point, listen, one researcher stated this, Christian, the last foundation for any doubt that the scriptures have come down to us as they were written has now been removed. You think, are you serious? Yeah, they've been at that state for a long time. Why? Let me give you some examples of how accurate the Bible is, folks, because of the manuscript data that we have. Unlike any other book in the history of mankind. Now, let me give you a couple examples first. When I was in secular school before I got saved, I had philosophy classes. I took over two semesters in a row, and of course we're talking about Plato and Aristotle. Okay? Now, not once in those secular classes did I have anybody, not including the teacher teaching them. And remember, and we're there about truth and ethics and morals, and that's what the classes are about. So we're discussing all these things, what's right, what's wrong, and how to know, in the writings of Aristotle and Plato. Not once did somebody go, excuse me, professor, how do we know that these writings of Plato are accurate to the original? How can we trust that it was transmitted to us and this really came from Plato? Nobody ever said that. Not one person ever got up and said, excuse me, professor, but I've done some research, and I'm not sure that I can really trust the accuracy of these writings that you say came from Aristotle. Nobody questions it. Yet, here's the facts. Watch this. Aristotle's writings, folks, we only have 49 copies of his writings on the planet, and guess what? Those copies are 1,400 years removed from the original writing. Plato, we only have 7 copies on the whole planet of the writings of Plato, and they are 1,200 years removed from the original. Yet, we have 24,000 plus copies of the New Testament, and we have portions within 25 years of the actual writing, within the life of the writer. And yet, What's everybody doing? Nobody questions the writings of Plato, even though you got seven copies and there's 1,200 years removed from the original. Aristotle's even worse than that, 1,400 years from the removal. And yet everybody automatically scoffs at the New Testament and says, oh, you can't trust it. This is crazy. This is, excuse me? Oh, and by the way, I couldn't believe we came across this, Dr. Spargeman. It's in the book. It's on the video. In fact, you'll see the actual video of the archaeological research. They've got it even less now than 25 years. Okay, and this was in the same area of the caves there in the Qumran area. Well, they found actual writings of books of the New Testament there, and now listen to this. Now, based on this research, I kid you not. Okay, they are saying it's not 25 years now that we have portions of the New Testament. Listen, that they have portions of the Gospel of Mark within 13 years of the actual writing. They have portions of the book of Romans within 11 years of the actual time of writing, the book of James within 8 years, Acts within 5 years of the writing, same thing for 1 Timothy, and listen, they believe that they have portions of 2 Peter in the New Testament, the exact year that it was estimated to have been written. And again, I'll say it again, folks, come on. Nobody questions the authenticity of Plato's writings. You only got seven copies on the planet. They're 1,200 years removed from the original, and it's even worse with Aristotle, with 1,400 years removed from the original, and we only have a few copies as well. But everybody says, oh, no, you can't trust the New Testament, when we have writings of it within the actual year of the actual writing. I mean, this is ludicrous. And that's why one guy said this, no book, listen, no book from the ancient world comes to us with more abundant evidence for its integrity than does the New Testament. The authenticity and the general integrity of the books in the New Testament may be regarded as finally established. In other words, it's done, right? You can't say you're being honest and you're intellectually trying to search for the truth and dealing with the facts in order to arrive at this conclusion about what you think about the Bible if you don't deal with this. No book on the planet has this kind of accuracy, transmission standard, manuscript evidence, but the Bible, okay? And there's no reason to scoff at it anymore.
Well, it's absolutely amazing as we get closer to the time of the rapture. You know, we're finding out more and more stuff that validates the Word of God. For example, you're probably aware of Bob Cornuke and some of his discoveries about the true location of Mount Sinai, and there's so much there. You know, if you look at the pictures, it's just amazing. Or Noah's Ark. I believe we're going to actually dig up Noah's Ark. There's going to be more and more and more proof, and God is going to say, look, if you don't listen, you're going to hell because you have all the proof that anybody could ever want. Friends, stay tuned. We'll be right back with our guest, Pastor Billy Crone. Did the Bible really come from God? That's the topic of these programs and also the title of a book and a 3-DVD set. This material presents overwhelming evidence, and I really mean that. You've just been listening to Pastor Billy. Overwhelming evidence showing that there really is no need to question the miraculous nature of the Bible, its transmission, and why we can know that it is really the Word of God. You can quote, bet your life on it. It will bring the message of salvation and eternal life. Give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. You will learn about the transmission of the Scriptures, archaeology, science, history, statistics, and the words of Jesus and the apostles, and how they all point to the Bible as being valid, authentic, and something that you can trust. Give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Well, Pastor Billy, we've got about, 13 minutes or so. Boy, there's so much more to cover, and I know you talk real quick, but we're listening really close.
Yeah, well, let's continue now with the manuscript evidence with the Old Testament, right? Because we got the New Testament, they got writings of it within the actual year. And there's no need to scoff, folks. It's the most validated book on the planet in the history of mankind. But what about the Old Testament? Well, this is what, believe it or not, most people have heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls, but they don't realize why that was such a big discovery. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, folks, reduced the gap by about 1,000 years of the earliest copy that we had of the Old Testament. The earliest copy that we had at that time was like around 900 A.D., but it was written around 125 B.C. is what they discovered. So you basically got a 1,000-year earlier copy of the Old Testament with the Dead Sea Scrolls. So my point being, I don't know if people recall this, but when the Dead Sea Scrolls were first found, they realized, aha, we've got copies 1,000 years earlier than what we've ever had on the planet. And the skeptics went crazy. They were laughing. Oh, they couldn't wait to get inside the Dead Sea Scrolls and point out all the errors, because there's no way it could be transmitted accurately, you know, through the years to the original. Well, guess what? You know why you never hear about in the news? Because it didn't give them what they want. It's kind of like the Mueller report. It didn't give them what they wanted. And when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, were there big, giant changes over 1,000 years? No. In fact, what changes there were, quote-unquote, was completely minor. For instance, it was like punctuation differences, maybe here and there, which changes nothing. Or it would be like spelling differences, which still changes nothing, which is common, you know, for different areas. For instance, you know, even today, if you say, hey, I'm going to go to the theater, right? We spell that T-H-E-A-T-E-R. Well, other people, they say, I'm going to the theater too, but they spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Right. Well, is that a big, giant doctrinal difference? Is that horrible? No, right? Or even this one. We will say, hey, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and we spell it S-A-V-I-O-R. But you go to Canada or Europe, they spell it S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Now, is that a major doctrinal difference? No. And folks, what, quote, so-called differences there were over a 1,000-year span, that's all it is. It's completely minor. It's crazy. In fact, it goes even better than that, right? Because you got the Old Testament, and you're looking at around a 325 B.C. time frame, okay? And so, yeah, you got it down to 125 B.C., but you still got, you know, a couple hundred-year gap in there, right? It's better than the 900 AD copy, but you know, you should have, but I kid you not, once again, we exposed this latest research. They have now found portions of the Old Testament, again, just like the New Testament. I agree with you, Dr. Spargimino, we're living the last days. I think God is pulling out all the stops, giving us plenty of evidence that, listen, you better get saved now. This book came from me. Do what it says. Get saved through Jesus, because you don't want to be left behind, okay? But they now have found portions of the Old Testament within 25 years of the actual writing, the original, and depending on the dates, some would say, again, just like the New Testament, we've even got it the same year, yes, even the Old Testament, when it was written. Now, this is why the classic researcher Sir Frederick Kenyon, he stated this, quote, "The Christian can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear or hesitation that he holds in it the true word of God handed down without any loss from generations throughout the centuries." In other words, you take a look at the evidence, don't be a hypocrite like I used to be, don't scoff at the Bible without doing the investigative facts. If you're really intellectually honest, you got to deal with the facts, do your homework, and you could see repeatedly the evidence is overwhelming. The Bible really did come from God. Now, we got several more to go, but maybe we could at least hit this one, because this is mind-blowing. And that's the evidence of archaeology, right? And believe it or not, that's a huge point in dispelling the myth out there that you can't trust the Bible, because this is what, you know, again, the skeptic will do. And they'll say, well, okay, even if the Bible really did come from God, we can't trust it because we know that it records things in there that we don't find evidence in history. Really? Now, if somebody says that to you, folks, again, you need to, in love, respectfully say, name one. Because there are none, right? In fact, the Bible is so accurate, even historically, that you know what the trend is in archaeology now? The archaeologists are going straight to the Bible. You want to find where a place is? Just go to the Bible and do the research, and you'll go right there every time. Why? Because the Bible is not only true, it's historically accurate.
Yeah, why? And you can't do that with the Book of Mormon, because there are a lot of places named in the Book of Mormon that don't exist.
Well, they don't exist, and you don't find the weaponry, you don't find the clothing, you don't find the animals, you don't find the supposed battles that took place, you don't find these supposed Lamanites, Nephites, and all that. You don't find nothing. Why? Because that book was whooped up by man. Okay? But not the Bible. It's 100% accurate, right? And let me give you just some of the examples that we have. Of course, we go through the whole account of the flood. You know, people, oh, there was no such thing as a worldwide flood. Are you kidding me? Folks, there are over, outside the Bible, there are over 500 different flood accounts throughout the history of mankind. Not five, not 50, 500, right? And they all record the same thing, that in the past, just like the Bible said, that there really was a worldwide flood. But then they'll say, well, we can't trust the writings of Moses because there was no such thing as writing back then. So how can we say that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible when they didn't even write? Well, guess what? They said that for years, but then they finally discovered what was called the Black Steel. The Black Steel was a round circular device, and that had cuneiform writing on it, and it wrote down the laws of a guy named Hammurabi, okay, and it demonstrated that, oh, I guess there was writing commonplace. In fact, not just writing, the reason why they put them on that scroll is because they could roll it out and make copies and things of that nature. So you got that one wrong. And over and over again, through the Old Testament, they said there's no such thing as, you know, you read the account of Sodom with Lot there and Gomorrah, and they said that they hid behind a door. We know for sure that there's no such thing as doors. Doors were not used. We found no evidence. Well, guess what? They keep digging. Guess what they found? Gee, they find that doors were, in fact, used, and used as a means of protection, just like the Bible says. They even says that the camels mentioned in the book of Genesis, oh, camels weren't used back then. They hadn't come upon, well, guess what? They now know that they were wrong. Here's one of my favorite ones, the Hittites. Oh, for years, folks, for years, the skeptics would say, oh, the Bible keeps talking about these people, you know, the Hittites. You know, they talk about Jebusites, Amorites, and the Hittites, and we find no evidence of their existence. You can't trust the Bible. Really? Well, they now know, thanks to keep digging in the dirt, they now know that the Hittites were not just a real people. Listen, folks, they now know they existed for over 1,200 years. It's crazy. And on and on it goes. Even the various battles that are mentioned in the scripture, the military campaigns, even the military campaigns of the Assyrian kings, the Egyptian kings, the fall of Nineveh, and all those, the Babylonians, all that stuff, folks, they say, oh, we don't find it. Well, guess what? They find them now. This is really cool. Belshazzar. If you guys remember the book of Daniel, he mentions Belshazzar. Now, that what was cool, they would say for years, oh, we can't find any records of the Babylonian records that a guy named Belshazzar existed. Well, guess what? They now have found, of course, because God never gets it wrong and he doesn't lie, that Belshazzar was, in fact, a guy, Nabonidus' son, who served as the co-regent of Babylon. So it not only proved that he was real, but listen, he was a co-regent. So listen to this. God gets it so accurate, obviously. When he offered Daniel, quote, the third highest ruler position in the kingdom, that was precisely accurate because he was second in command, Belshazzar. And so he was offering him the next highest available position. On and on it goes. The Exodus. Folks, you got to check it out. The Exodus, how many times? Oh, there's no evidence of the Exodus. And people, are you kidding me? We actually share in the videos, and you can see the pictures in the book, actual videos and pictures of chariot wheels at the bottom of the ocean there with the Red Sea. How do you explain that? Well, because that's what God said happened, that he parted the waters, and then the Israelites went through on dry land. But when the Egyptian army with their chariots chased them, what did he do? Here comes the water, and they got flooded. Folks, we have actual archaeological evidence. You can see the chariots and the chariot wheels for yourself. And again, that's just the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they did the same thing, unfortunately. And for many, many years, they would say that the census mentioned by Luke with the birth of Jesus, we don't find any Roman records. They never did that. Yes, they did. They found it now. In fact, I was just there last November, and I took a selfie. How about this? Pontius Pilate. Right? For years, they said, we find no Roman records of Pontius Pilate. And that's a major figure in the account of Jesus. Well, guess what? 1961, Italian archaeologists excavated in near the amphitheater in Caesarea. I was just there. And guess what? They flipped it over, and guess what? It says Tiberius Caesar there, and it says Pontius Pilatus, prefect of Judea. Right there, in stone, he really was real. And then let me finish with this one. This was a recent discovery, folks. Even Caiaphas. Now, Caiaphas was the guy that they took Jesus to after he was arrested, right? And he's the one that asked, are you the Christ or Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? To which Jesus replied, I am, right? And then he was handed over to Pilate to be tried. They actually have now found, and you can see it all documented for you, the actual remains of Caiaphas, okay? And they said that inside this ossuary, which is where they stored the bones, the remains of people back in the day, that it not only had his name on it, but sure enough, inside were the remains of about a 60-year-old guy, which is right about when it was, and they even said this, quote, this is remarkable. It's a remarkable discovery because it has, for the first time, provided us with the actual physical remains of an actual character mentioned in the Bible. Folks, you can't get that on any other book on the planet except for the Bible. Why? Because there's no need to doubt. No need to give in to the lying skepticism of the critic. What we hold in our hands, folks, is the genuine Word of God. We need to preach it, but we also need to live it so that people can see that we believe it too, that this is from God. I need to do what it says before it's too late.
Right, and that's really, I think, what's so important. There is a day when it's going to be too late. And what's going to aggravate and make the sin of rejection, rejecting Christ, so awful is the fact that there's so much evidence. I mean, it's like Romans 1, the creation is screaming at people that, you know, the invisible attributes of God are evident from the things that God has made. And people are just shutting up their ears. They don't want to hear it. They can hear it, but they're shutting out God. They're shutting out His love. They're shutting out His voice. The same thing is true with all of the things that are mentioned, the battles, the Red Sea crossing, on and on and on. And, you know, Pastor Billy, this is one of the things that reminds me that we're getting very close to that day, because every time somebody discovers something that points to the authenticity and veracity of the Word of God, that's saying, hey, guys, hey, you rebels out there, you people who are stuffing your ears with your fingers and don't want to hear it, this stuff is real. You better listen. You better listen. It's going to be like in the ark. You know, the day came when the door was shut and it was too late. So, Pastor Billy, thank you so much. I mean, this is tremendous material. I think there is really a purpose in what you've done. Number one, to educate the saints. And as you've pointed out, a lot of the saints need their faith bolstered and strengthened. But also, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, the day is coming closer and closer and closer. So, dear brother, always a joy to be with you. Thank you for Did the Bible Really Come from God?
Amen. Well, thank you again, Dr. Spargimino, and I agree with you. We got to get God's truth out. We're living in the last days. I really think this is an act of God's mercy that in our generation, He's providing so much evidence so that people will take it serious.
Well, Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get Did the Bible Really Come from God?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. You can have your own copy of this 3-DVD set titled Did the Bible Really Come from God? For a gift of $20 if you live in the United States, and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this amazing new series by Billy Crone on our website at swrc.com. As if that wasn't enough, we also have the book with the same name, Did the Bible Really Come from God, for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both the DVDs and the book for a gift of $30. Our number again is 1-800-652-1144. Thank you for joining us today. Join us again on Monday as we begin a new series here on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.